On News Talk Radio 710 WOR, here's John Gamblin.
Happy Friday, 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. Good to have you aboard here. Scheduling has required us to move the mayor an hour early here. Mayor Michael Bloomberg and my conversation brought to you by Racatina Lexus. Experience the legend in luxury. Racatina Lexus on New Jersey, Route 35, Oakhurst, Route 9 South, Freehold, Boston Post Road, Larchmont. Stop in today. Take advantage of all the terrific programs and the lease specials. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So this is what it's like at 7 in the morning.
you should see it at about 3:30.
I was going to ask, well, you get up at 3:30. I get up about 5:15 and it's still dark out. But I'm always been an early riser. Have you?
Yes, actually, for the past 35 years, it's just been what I've had to do, and I've gotten modestly used to it. I don't think you ever really do. Let me ask.
I have a friend who eats dinner at 6 o'clock every night, done it all his life, and he's my age.
There you go, and he's still doing very, very well. I hope
he's doing very well.
Let me ask you on the stop and frisk situation: is the police commissioner's words of yesterday on the refresher course that he wants to have all of his troops go through, is that the reaction to the class action suit?
No. This is something you could go back and look. 6 weeks ago, Kelly began a process really of making local precincts commanders responsible for stop and frisk and reporting, checking the quality. He's been working. So this is a program that is effective. People say there's a divide between the public and the police. There may be a divide between the public, some of the public and the police, but the divide that is no longer there is that you used to not be able to walk the streets of this city safely, and today you can walk every neighborhood during the day and most neighborhoods at night. The crime rate has fallen dramatically. I think the real issue here is just making sure that we keep going and keep driving crime down. We still, this year, will have, we're going to set a record, I think, for the low number of murders, but one murder is one murder too many. We're going to set a record for getting guns off the streets and out of the hands of kids, but one gun on the street is one gun too many, and we're going to keep doing this. And Kelly is always trying to figure out ways to train the officers better, to make sure that the community understands what we're trying to do. Ray has challenged a number of times any of the critics and said, well, give us something else that will get guns off the streets. And the answer always is, well, better schools. That would help, but it's that you're talking there long, long time in process. We've got to do something right now, and I think Ray is doing exactly this. And let me just say, we are not going to walk away from tactics that work, and we're not going to walk away from bringing crime down. If we had had the same homicide rate, John, that was in existence when we came into office, and remember, the Giuliani administration brought crime down dramatically. People don't remember. We used to have 2,200 murders a year. Rudy brought it down dramatically. And everybody said it's going to go back up when he left office. And everybody said you couldn't get it any lower. Well, we built on what was done back then. We built on the support that the public has for bringing murders down, and we brought it down, and this year I think we're going to set another record. If we had kept that old rate, though, that we inherited, 5,600 people who are alive today would be dead, and if history's any guide, it would have been an overwhelming number of those would have been young black and Hispanic men, about 90% of them, which is why George Soros and my foundation both put $30 million and the city put $60 million into our young men's program. We have a whole bunch of kids out there who are disaffected and unfortunately have a very high crime rate, and we've got to work with those kids to stop them before they get killed. And we're going to do that. We're going to work on both ends, tough enforcement, making sure that we go to the neighborhoods where high crime is and we stop the kids who fit the descriptions and perps and just make sure that they're not carrying guns. And it's in their interest. It's saving their lives. And we're going to not walk away from these kids. We're going to have the kind of improvement in education programs that Dennis Walcott was talking about yesterday and social programs that Linda Gibbs and all of her people keep working on. And we just want to make sure that we can do everything we can to keep this the safest big city in the country. You know, if you look at what's happening in other cities, the second biggest city in this country, crime rate is off the charts, up 60% this year. Once you start to convince people they can get away with carrying guns, then you lose control. And we cannot do that. We just got to make sure that we've got to do exactly what we're charged with doing, keeping the city safe from terrorism and making sure that street crime, which is almost always committed with illegal guns, is just prevented by every technique we have. Yes, we're going to obey the law, and we believe that we are in compliance with the law. We don't racial profile. We look to see where the crime is, and whatever the ethnicity of that neighborhood is, that's what it is. We look to see who is described by the victims as perps, and we look for the people that are described. Anything else, the police department, we kind of passive organization that couldn't do anything, and nobody wants that. We want a good police department out there.
Reaction to the charges that supervisors put pressure on the guys and the gals in the street to stop and frisk?
Well, if it's a tactic that the police department chooses to use, the management is going to tell the cops to do it, sure. We don't have quotas, but, John, nobody suggests you send cops out there and say, yeah, do whatever you want. Well, nobody says to send cops out there and say, yeah, you don't have to work, just stand on the corner. No, and then management is to give them the training and the tools they need to send them to the neighborhoods where we can do the most good and to make sure they do what we've asked them to do effectively and in compliance with the law and with as much professionalism and courtesy as we can. And that's the way the police department, that's why we have the greatest police department in the world, because we do it. And I think if you take a look, one of the things that always struck me, John, in other big cities around the country, the police departments tend to be all one ethnicity. Here we are very diverse. We match the ethnicity of the city. And it is a handful of people who don't like any policing whatsoever who are out there screaming, and the governments bow to them rather than understanding the first responsibility of the police department is consistent with the law to make it safe to go out on our streets. And if you don't have that, you don't have a civilization, you don't have all the rights that our founding fathers wanted us to have, you don't have the rights that our young men and women around the world keep fighting and dying for so that we have it. You have to be able to walk the streets safely, and we have to do it legally, and we're doing that.
All right, Governor Cuomo it looks as though he's just about to do it, get rid of fingerprinting on food stamps here in New York City, which is, I think, the only place in the state where that happens. Your reaction?
The governor and I have talked about it. I think it's fair to say we just disagree on it. You know, he's trying to do what he thinks is right. I'm trying to do what I think is right. The case I have made is that when fingerprinting was done for food stamps, and it's already done for cash assistance, incidentally, I think it's done nationwide for cash assistance. I'm not sure of that, but I think so. But it's certainly, we are one of the few places that do it for food stamps. If you're going to get a benefit, our obligation is to make sure that you get the benefits that you're entitled to and that people who aren't entitled to them don't get any. And we don't have any other ways other than establishing your identity for sure. You could do it with DNA. You could do it with imaging of your eyes. There are other techniques of establishing. Finger imaging is what we really do rather than fingerprinting. And we do it to make sure that the applicants are eligible. And we don't set the eligibility standards. And incidentally, the take-up rate, which is important, it's the rate of how many people are eligible for food stamps that actually apply and get them, is higher in New York than in the rest of New York State. So our fingerprinting certainly hasn't pushed people away. And then people say, well, it's on a card. Yeah, but anybody can use your card. You can pass the card around. That's ridiculous. Just give it to people who aren't entitled to it. And then they say, well, it's demeaning. I can just tell you, John, if you work for New York City, we fingerprint you or finger image you to make sure that you don't have a criminal record, but also to make sure that you are you, because we want to, you know, people have responsibilities. And if we're going to image the fingerprints of people who, and inside my company does it too, and most, I assume most companies do, if you want to get a job, you're probably going to be imaged. If the federal government gives you a security clearance, they image you. And establishing who you are is just nothing wrong with it. Whether I look you in the eye and ask you who you are, or just image your fingerprinting, it is even demeaning or not demeaning, depending on your definition. But I suppose if you find being asked who you are, and just say, well, I'm going to take this job and you have no right to know who I am, or I'm going to take this benefit and you have no right to know who I am, and that just doesn't work. And it's neither demeaning, and people say, well, you know, the double dipping and triple dipping that existed before fingerprinting was started in this city maybe 20 years ago, that's not there anymore, therefore we don't need it. Yeah, but the reason it's not there is people have their fingers imaged, and as soon as you take that away, you would expect the abuses to creep in. There are always a few bad people. And even this year, with the imaging we've had, and the understanding for most people you'll never get away with it, we still catch some people, a lot, but you know, if you catch one, what's come on?
None whatsoever. The city council this week passed something they call the Responsible Banking Act, 44-4. Will you veto this?
Does the word for sure mean anything? the city going into the regulatory business of banking sets probably a new low for idiocy. I mean, we've got the federal government and the state government, they're having trouble doing it, in case you hadn't noticed. And for the city to get involved, all this is going to do is make the requirements to do business with the city so complicated, onerous, and expensive that we won't have, most banks are just not going to deal with the city. And when you're talking about the city, you think, yeah, this big account. The responsibilities for every PTA has an account, which is by definition a city account. Every community board, all of these small organizations, lots of little league teams, I think. And some of these, the bank's just going to say, what do I need this for? I'm doing them a favor as it is. You don't make any money off these small things. And it doesn't accomplish what the bill was set out to do. Somehow or other, there's a higher purpose. Banks are in business to loan money, and we should encourage them to make sure that they treat everybody fairly, and that they are. We want banks to find loaning in New York City as attractive. We want people, banks around the world, to come here and make loans so that our businesses can grow and our people can get the best rates on mortgages, and small organizations can get the kind of banking services they need. You don't do that by making it more difficult, more onerous to do business here. Quite the contrary. We're in competition. These organizations that lend money can go elsewhere.
Mr. Mayor, I know you've got to go. I got one more question for you before the clock ticks to zero here for us this morning. You and I have talked many times over the years about selling off infrastructure, and you have suggested parking meters could be privatized. Why parking meters and not other things?
Well, the number one, you don't want to sell off something that you lose control of and that we should be in control of. And number two, the mistake that most municipalities and states make is they sell off assets and then take the money and use it for current expenses. That is the height of idiocy, because a year later you don't have the asset and you've used up the money. You want to sell. The way you should be selling is when the private sector can do a better job than the public sector, and some things yes, some things no.
Are you convinced that this is such a case, or you're going to wait and see?
It depends on what the request for qualification that we've sent out to explore the idea come back with. If somebody comes back where we can maintain control and they can do it better than we can do it, absolutely not. But our job, John, in the administration is not to employ as many people in the city government as we can. It is not to spend as much money as we can. It is to give the public the services they want at the quality they deserve for as low a price as possible. And, for example, the police department, fire department, those agencies, no, we're going to keep that all in-house. But we are combining motor pools. We go out. We don't do all of the work of the police department itself. For example, when it has food, it doesn't go out and grow the food. It buys the food. So some things you will bring in-house, some things you won't. And parking meters is one of the things we're working on, which there's lots of technology out there that the private system operators have, and it might make some sense for us. And I don't get that. Depends what comes back.
All right, very good. Well, I have to leave it there because I know you got to go, but we'll put you on the agenda for next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate it. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show with his weekly visit.